Being Programmed to Chill, a show about business, crime, parapolitics, and esoterica, with your host, Jimmy Fallon Gong.
All right, now, of course, we got to do a beverage check. What are you drinking?
I'm just drinking water at the moment, being born, just classic H2O. What about you?
The classic, the healthy option. I'm drinking Diet Mountain Dew. It's bad, but what can I say? I have to have some vice in my life.
That's a good vice, man. It's better than a lot of others that you can choose. It's better than Michael Caruso drug and sex parties.
And ecstasy and so forth.
Yeah, it can be a lot worse than Diet Mountain Dew. I'll let you slide on this one.
And then I was going to ask before I get into my stuff. So, okay, you said not so into 6ix9ine. I like certain 6ix9ine songs, but I think that, like, typically I like the ones that I like 6ix9ine songs where he has guests, not necessarily just him alone. And then a Tupac, I think you're a big fan, right? I'm a pretty big Tupac fan, right?
Absolutely.
Hard not to be. I don't really like Death Row stuff. What about you?
I like some of the Death Row stuff, just like mainly like I think that Doggy Style by Snoop Dogg was a Death Row record. I think that one's pretty fun. But no, it doesn't tend to be my favorite stuff. I mean, honestly, a lot of my like favorite rap music, we probably talked about like in the like, because I'm also just like, I guess, like a product of my generation. I like some of the like SoundCloud stuff that we talked about last time quite a bit. Like
what are we talking?
I like Lil Peep. I like Suicide Boys quite a bit.
Oh yeah.
I used to like Ghost Mane before I became like more religious, but I don't like feeling like I'm being spiritually attacked by the music I'm listening to. Like, am I taking part in a ritual just by listening to this? Like, you know, so.
What about like Ramirez, Puya, Shakewell? Those are three of my guys right now.
Yeah, yeah, no, I like all that stuff too. Yeah, it's all good stuff. I even like some of like Fat Nick and stuff. I'm pretty good at separating the art from the artist. And
it's so hard because like I like Fat Nick songs and I just look at him and I'm like, you look like a freaking maybe a bleepfest.
Yeah, he's pretty ghoulish. A lot of the SoundCloud guys are pretty ghoulish looking. But yeah, no.
How about 50 Cent? You into 50 Cent?
I'm not like huge into 50 Cent, but I do like him. Like, I'm not like anti 50 Cent by any means. He's like, he's got some like, you know, fun kind of like more party type songs that can be fun to listen to.
Yeah, like due to my age and upbringing, like I remember 50 Cent, but like I wasn't like in the target demo at the time to like know or care that much about him. But like, did you ever see his biopic?
No, I didn't.
It's okay. Like, it's no like 8 Mile, right? Where it's like, you know, Oscar bait or something, but like, it's surprisingly like serviceable and it like stars him, right?
Is this Get Rich or Die Trying? Is that?
Yeah, it's like not bad. It's surprising.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that, but I might just have to give that a watch. It sounds like some fun to just turn on and have fun with for a couple hours. I like T.I., who we're about to talk about. I like some of T.I.'s music. It can be pretty fun. I, as a young white boy, liked T.I. quite a bit, so that's kind of funny when I was like, I don't even know. I'm a pretty young guy, but yeah, like right when I can't remember what it was called, maybe like Paper Trail or something, but like that big album of his
where maybe around 2006 or 7, something like that.
Yeah. I remember that coming out at the time, and that was like one of the first like things that I was exposed to rap wise. So I definitely get nostalgic every once in a while listening to T.I. and just think about being like a goofy kid and listening to T.I. and being like, I'm cool for listening to this. But
yeah, no, for sure. The majority of my rap knowledge is actually about Atlanta rap.
Okay.
And like, I'm all in on it. But like, here's the thing, okay? Like, Gucci Mane was my guy. He was by far my favorite rapper still, probably. But so like, I kind of missed T.I. So like, I have heard T.I., like, don't get me wrong. But like, I by no means like have listened to nearly like even a fraction of as much as like Gucci Mane onward, basically.
Yeah. Do you remember when T.I. had that MTV show where it was like him rehabilitating himself and like trying to clean up his public image?
I sure do. I didn't watch it, but yeah, I remember that.
I didn't watch it either, but I just remember that.
In fact, we will talk about it in a second.
Okay, awesome.
All right, so my confidential informant, he gave me a tip in researching to look at T.I., and holy shit, was he right. There is so much going on with T.I. There's literally points at which T.I. is probably playing different agencies against one another. And like, I found so much stuff with T.I. that I had to beg the question, does T.I. stand for threat intelligence? Like, oh man. Okay. So not to say too much about my research process, but like, with this episode, I did some unique stuff that I don't do with most episodes. And I basically did like a shotgun blast where I like tried to do deep research on as many Atlanta rappers as I thought were interesting. And like, by far the most amount of stuff came up with T.I., just like the guy said. So T.I., also known as Clifford Joseph Harris Jr., famous, right? Don't really need to introduce him, but of course he's a rapper, actor, record executive from Atlanta. He was one of the first guys working with trap, which is, just like you, one of my favorite subgenres of music. So like, very into the music that T.I. created, basically. And so it's important to understand that T.I. was actually trapping, right? Like, he was in the criminal underworld, I guess you could say. He got several arrests and convictions for drug possession as a minor. Like, we're talking, just like you said, and I really, really liked this, that there's really like two grades of like harassment, I guess, where the first one is that harassment and arrest and to like get people in the system so that like years of their life, they're like, on probation perpetually, constantly getting arrested for bullshit. Cause it's like, you're on probation and then anything you do keeps you on probation. It's bullshit, right? Like, a lot of stuff people are going to be familiar with, I think, but like, that next level is like agents provocateurs, more complicated operations. And I think that the majority of stuff is really in that like first category of like just getting people tangled in this legal mess and then like controlling them through, this gray area where they maybe can like get shorter probation, they can, or like shorter sentences, and then the probation is still necessary to keep them on the hook. And this is very much what we're talking about with T.I. I think things only get even more complicated a little bit later in his career, but let's go through it, right? So like I said, T.I., several arrests and drug, convictions for drug possession as a minor. This is exactly the kind of guy the feds would be looking for to use as a CI if they can, especially if they're trying to break into the music industry, very much like a useful type of guy, right? So if we're talking T.I.'s career, his first album comes out in 2001. Then his big album, Trap Music, comes out in 2003. And from that point on, he's basically a star. Granted, like, Atlanta was not, you know, the hottest musical scene yet, but like, it was like increasingly becoming so, right? So around the same time, 2003, that is, T.I. gets arrested for various incidents, culminating in an arrest for violating probation, which comes around 2006, which is like just as his career is peaking, basically. So in 2007, a very interesting thing happens. T.I. gets arrested shortly before the BET Hip Hop Awards. This was like big news, right? So T.I. got arrested and charged with two felonies, possession of three unregistered machine guns and silencers, and possession of firearms by a convicted felon, the convicted felon being himself, T.I., right? So this is like, okay, like people know, gun charges are what they really get you on a lot of the time, that and drugs in a different way. But like, guns are like, you can more easily plant drugs than guns, I guess I would say. Like with guns, it's like, you'll see a lot of these guys being controlled with gun charges, I guess I would say. So T.I. didn't just buy three unregistered machine guns and silencers, which are super fucking illegal. He bought them from a cooperating witness working with the ATF. This cooperating witness was none other than T.I.'s own bodyguard, Corey Williams. So, who was Corey Williams? He was a very busy guy. He ran a nightclub promotion called Creative Times Entertainment. He also ran an escort service. Williams was known to place online ads, beautiful women for escort massage service, which would cater, and I quote, cater to the upscale gentlemen of Atlanta, unquote. And he promised that women working there would, working as, quote, escorts, massage therapists, and exotic dancers, unquote, would earn $600 an hour. So this is T.I.'s bodyguard. Keep that in mind with regard to T.I. later on. More relevant to the story at hand, Williams ran a security firm called Bushido Group. Luke, have you ever seen that movie Ghost Dog?
I have not.
Oh, man. It's what's his name? Forrest Whitaker. That's the guy with the lazy eye, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Forrest Whitaker plays this character who's like basically a mafia hitman, but like he only reads the Hagakure and like styles himself as like a samurai. It's amazing. It's one of the best movies ever. But like my favorite thing, just like Wu-Tang Clan in general, is just like black nerds into samurai shit. It's so great.
Yeah, that rules. That for sure rules. Did you say it's called Ghost Dog?
Yeah, Ghost Dog.
All right, that's going in the queue for sure. I need to see this.
You got to check it out. It actually has, I think, the RZA doing soundtrack, or the GZA maybe. I don't remember which, but it's a very dope movie. But so T.I.'s bodyguard ran a security firm called Bushido Group. And we know that Bushido Group was on a vendor's list to get a fatty security contract with the Department of Homeland Security. If they won that contract, it would be $23 million to staff an immigrant detention facility in Puerto Rico, which, to be fair, was probably a long shot. It's not clear that he would actually have gotten this contract, but it's interesting nonetheless, right?
Absolutely.
Here's the real smoking gun. And I do mean smoking gun, both in the literal sense of guns that were being traded, and also much of this research was done by the website The Smoking Gun, which I'll shout out to them, of course. So The Smoking Gun is that Corey Williams was in the military, where he served at Fort Jackson and Lackland Air Force Base. Now, as The Smoking Gun website started to investigate Corey Williams, the judge sealed up Williams' court file. But you got to ask yourself, who was Williams working for? Other than the ATF in that one specific instance, like, was he working with Army intelligence? Yeah. Was he working with elements of Army intelligence? Like, what are we talking about here? So, relating to T.I. and this sting, Corey Williams wore a wire talking to T.I. selling these guns. So T.I. was like completely fucked because he was, well, T.I. was completely fucked if nailing T.I. was ever the goal, which it does not seem like nailing T.I. was actually the goal, because T.I. would proceed to get one of the most lenient sentences ever. T.I. would be convicted of 3 felonies, which could have very easily given him a solid 10 years in prison when you factor in his previous like felony narcotics convictions and his prior unlawful possession of firearms convictions. And then, in conjunction with all this, federal agents found even more weapons at T.I.'s home. I mean, T.I. was literally on a wiretap buying unlicensed machine guns and silencers. Like, this is slam dunk guilty. But Corey Williams ends up getting a heavier sentence than T.I., or like approximately the same amount, which really ought to make you wonder.
Get their head turned red for the bread. Start off with the information loaded up in your head. Couldn't hold it, so it turned out as something he said. What he tell the feds? Yeah, your decision was to snitch and they was there to listen. When he told what he knows, said they barely was tripping. Less time, now the niggas in a better position. Unless you count the fact that the streets know he was snitching. He was looking at 30, but he only did 10. How your years turn to months, can he tell you that? And he really got an answer, just a sweat in his hand. Will he make it out to make it? Well, it depends. Everybody know the info you was telling your friends. Plus the streets know the deals that you made with the pen. Russian roulette, yep, nigga, bet the barrel was spin. You hear that? Yeah, nigga, that's the sound. Walk down the right road, cause the streets are so cold. Better take your life slow, or you'll miss it. Just stick to the G-code. If you know what I know, then you keep your mouth closed. Keep your mouth closed, nigga, we don't tolerate snitches.
This one for my gangsters, real niggas, ballers. Real niggas, north side, south side. Drunk and juice up, gangsters. Real niggas, ballers. Real niggas, east side, west side.
If you gon' live that crime life, I hope you hold that 9 tight. Live like a pussy, then that's probably what you die like. Never ever love the sucker, that ain't really my type. Rat snakes, yeah, man, the game is full of wildlife. Don't wanna do no time right, you wanna live that high life. Make a withdrawal, have 100,000 in your eyesight. Enter your crib, see the clouds peeking through your skylight. Be a copycat and pattern your life after my life. Cause mine right, that's what he told me, but I didn't listen. Doing crime for a dime wasn't my intention. You insane, think his name something I will mention. Only snitches need someone to tell, yeah. A lot of niggas in the game hustling, doing they thing. Using codes on the phone with unusual slang. If you know what he know, then you wouldn't say a thing. You wouldn't need someone to tell. Yeah, careful about the life you lead. Ain't smart with your life you bleed. The streets will ignite your tea like you ain't got the right to breathe. To choke on the realness, reality is what the fake don't know how to deal with. Words leak from the teeth, but he'll say he sealed it. Then go get an undercover brother he can chill with. Find a nigga that be hustling to make a deal with. But the streets will hold court for him in a little bit.
Down the right road, cause the streets are so cold. Better take your life slow, or you'll miss it. Just stick to the G-code, if you know what I know. This one for my gangsters, real niggas, ballers. Real niggas, north side, south side. Drunk and juice up, gangsters. Real niggas, ballers. Real niggas, east side, west side.
It's for the G, street struggling to move the fire. When you talking what you talking, it ain't through the wire. Police pull you over, now they calling you a liar. Got amnesia, don't even know the dude beside you. You don't know, you ain't saying, you ain't heard what he said. Told you a closed mouth ain't gon' never get fed. I open mouth and get your county instead of the fed. So scared niggas speak up so they be less in the red. Niggas can't deal with no 9 to 5, so they dated they budgeters. It's the hustlers that get put away by the customers. Upstate, niggas used to be southerners. Hear the streets, make the laws, and don't answer the governor. us. Where the niggas who too real to even snitch on the snitch. To make a snitch turn a poof with a flick of the wrist. That ain't gon' get in arguments, just gon' get you a clip. And ain't gon' think about the consequence, he letting it rip.
On the right road, cause the streets are so cold.
Got nothing to say when they come question you. Just keep it 100. Go ahead and
chuck your deuce up. Sup.
So T.I. gets out on bail and he was sentenced to an undefined prison sentence. And they initially gave him a year of house arrest and 1,500 hours of community service. After that, the judge sentenced him to 1 year and a day in prison and a fine of like $100,000. It seemed very lenient, suspiciously lenient, in fact. 50 Cent would famously question this, and I might insert the audio clip, but I am also going to just read the lyrics. What's today's mathematics? Shit ain't adding up. Get knocked with 10 machine guns, only get 12 months. Ooh-wee, don't talk to me. You talk to him, you talking to them. I got the best lawyers money can buy. They said they would have gotten me 10 or maybe 9. I said, how do you explain how homie breeze? They said, keep your mouth shut or you eat the cheese. So to be clear, of course, 50 Cent is accusing T.I. of snitching. And I will say it is extremely likely that T.I. was snitching. But that's only part of the story. And I will say, like you, I freaking love 50 Cent online. He's very funny, I think.
Yeah.
And he's always like at like just like annoying people. Like, it's great.
I mean, yeah, there's like one of the best like all times just owning someone was when he like, how much money did he offer Floyd Mayweather if he could read a page from Harry Potter without stumbling?
Oh, that was brutal, but like pretty funny.
Yeah, pretty brutal.
Oh man. So 50 Cent continued, like he beefed with T.I. for a while. Also, like he did the song, but also he posted online an old recording of T.I. recording a Crime Stoppers commercial where T.I. is encouraging people to send information to the police. And so T.I., and of course he was doing the like laughing, crying emojis and all that, as he does. So T.I. responded by saying, and I quote, as far as this clip goes, it's cute, old, outdated, and in poor taste, much like your catalog, 50 Cent. However, I prefer facts, all caps, and for the rest of this. And the fact remains, I have never given any information to any form of law enforcement at any time in life to get anybody any time for any crime. Supreme told me to ask 50 Cent if he can say the same, ? Which, of course, 50 Cent cannot say the same. But at the same time, 50 Cent probably did not snitch to nearly the degree as T.I. did.
Yeah.
So you see here, of course, T.I. is referring to the very strong likelihood that 50 Cent snitched to, but nevertheless, T.I.'s position is that he never gave any information to law enforcement, ever. Let's go through the record to see if T.I. can prove that this is true. So T.I. spoke to the radio station Hot 97 about the accusations of snitching, and I quote, I go with the G-code. In prison, we have paperwork parties. In prison, you have cards. I was in a federal penitentiary, so everybody is sent from everywhere. So I had the Georgia card, the Georgia crew. When you get there, your crew comes to make sure you got everything you need, but you have to produce paperwork so they will know how to align themselves with you. And then he continues to explain how prison works. He explains how paperwork parties work. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't know about paperwork parties, but he says, I've always been in a general population. My words here, that's supposedly proof that he never snitched. He continues saying, all the time, I turned in my paperwork. When you turn in your paperwork, it's called a paperwork party. They look on it on the yard. Everybody gets to observe it and whatnot. They know exactly what to look for, unquote. T.I. would continue saying that his accusers have other motives for calling him a snitch. He said, everybody wants to believe that because if they would have been caught in them circumstances, that's what would have happened to them. They would have done it. I stood silent. I could say with a clear conscience and a pure heart, I've never had to tell anything on anybody, unquote. Except in 2008. In 2008, T.I. testified in an Ohio murder case. He did not, to be fair, directly or indirectly identify any shooters. But there's no reason why he was even there in the first place. Like, they would have had to have forced him to appear to testify. Like, with what he, like, let me rephrase that. There's no, like, his testimony was not identifying directly or indirectly any shooters, but there's no reason why he would have chosen to participate because he wasn't being compelled to visibly, unless he had some kind of agreement that was not public, which required him to testify, if that makes sense, which was the case. Like, he absolutely had some kind of agreement saying that he had to testify in, you know, other people's trials as, you know, as needed. And this would have been one of those. So he leans quite a bit on this paperwork party thing, right? However, I found an article which talked about T.I. going to prison, okay? This is a Billboard article, which normally you would think Billboard, like that, like you would never expect that to be like good reporting, but get this, okay? And I quote from the article. The rapper made a concert-like entrance to the Forest City low-security prison, showing up late inside a black conversion van with tinted windows. T.I., real name Clifford J. Harris Jr., was to report at noon, but the deadline passed as guards outside blocked reporters and onlookers from coming near the facility on a rural state highway. It was not immediately clear if T.I.'s late arrival would affect his plea deal with prosecutors, unquote. So first of all, like, they're referring to the known plea deal, of course, but my point here is that T.I., in police custody, arrived late to prison. My contention to you is that he was late because he was probably A, either signing papers elsewhere, or B, was already at the prison and then, quote, showed up late after having signed his papers. Either way, there is reason to doubt T.I.'s supposed paper party argument. I know that sounds technical and not like a slam dunk, but like, I was astounded to find that there is in fact reason to doubt his argument, which I thought was really interesting.
Oh, I found that interesting too.
So T.I. goes to prison in 2009. He serves his time. Once he gets out, he has a reality show. Initially, it's called T.I.'s Road to Redemption. And then there would be various follow-up series after that. Now, around that time, it came out that T.I.'s rap protege, Cedric Zellers, aka Alpha Mega, had worked as a DEA informant in 1995. I don't know. I had never heard of Alpha Mega. I think his career very much got bopped, so like, he didn't spend that much time, but like, Alpha Mega, he testified against an Atlanta drug dealer in a court case in 1996. when this came out, T.I. kicked Alpha Mega off his record label. But you do kind of got to wonder if this is just how things work over at T.I.'s label, which is called Grand Hustle. And there's a quote here from one of the articles I was reading. Quote, Grand Hustle has now been labeled the snitch posse by those in industry circles. Grand Hustle indeed, right? So in 2010, T.I. and his wife were arrested for drug possession. This violated his probation. So he would have had to have been sent back to prison. Then, curiously, the drug charges were dropped. However, the way it works, he still violated probation, even if the charges, you know, don't go through. So he would have had to go back to prison. But then, last minute, they seem to have allowed him to go to a communal living facility instead. Then he was sent back to prison again for some dispute over whether the community living facility was like allowed. And like, you could read into this as a bunch of bungling and mismanagement and misunderstandings, or you could read it another way as some agencies fighting over control of TI and trying to get what they want and maybe feuding amongst themselves and trying to get it. But from that point on, TI's legal problems he was largely in the clear. And TI went back to being the self-appointed king of the South. There are still a few things that stick out. For instance, in 2020, T.I. was tapped to try and stop the Atlanta riots of 2020, which, like, those were pretty big, right? And so T.I. would appear with Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms and Killer Mike, as well as a few other people. And they got up on camera to try to, like, encourage an end to the riots. And most of the speech was what you might expect, but there was this like very like chef's kiss moment where she said, T.I. and Killer Mike own half the West Side. So when you burn down this city, you're burning down our community. And it's like, listen, we've got T.I. and Killer Mike, the landlords, who are encouraging you not to riot. Great stuff. Amazing.
Interesting.
Yeah, so like it's like, okay, what is it about T.I. and Killer Mike where they might be, you know, willing to go up there and be like, hey, stop rioting? Like, we know with Killer Mike and his cop dad, but T.I. too, right? Mm. And so in 2020, T.I. was also charged by the SEC in not one, but two different fraudulent ICOs, that's initial coin offerings, for cryptocurrency scams, those being Flick and CoinSpark. Just continuing with the Grand Hustle, right? Now, in researching T.I., I found this bizarre musician biography on this website that I had never heard of before. It's called America's Intelligence Wire. America's Intelligence Wire is owned by the Financial Times. I don't know if you knew this, Luke. I don't know if my listeners might know, but the Financial Times is like super fucking expensive. It's like, I want to say, I think last time I looked, it's something like $1,000 for like an annual membership or something.
Whoa, that's insane.
Because it's like, that's where like the real shit is. That's like, for, you know, such as it is, that's like where like financial elites might actually speak frankly from time to time.
Yeah.
So like you look at something between like the Financial Times and like The Economist or something and like split the difference, and it's like that's probably, you know, you might get the real story sometimes. But
no, I had no idea about that. That's insane.
So T.I. has this weird musician biography on this America's Intelligence Wire. And by the way, I have no idea why, but this biography lists T.I.'s phone number and address, if anybody wants that. And I've like never seen anything like it. I'm like, it's got like his fax for his business and his like business's phone number and his address. Like, I was like, what the fuck is this? And like,
he's high in his weight and his dietary habits. It's like,
and so like the article is like more or less a traditional biography. I think it's like, it was like vaguely better than the Wikipedia version, which is like pretty, you know, PR scrubbed. But like the article very tellingly quotes him as saying, I don't anticipate doing any time. It ain't like I stand a chance of doing 10 years or any of that, unquote. Which like, you know, like what was that quote about like Snoop Dogg's not going to prison?
Yeah. He's very confident for someone who has like the record he has that he's not going to do any time.
I don't anticipate doing any time. Yeah, I don't think you would.
Yeah, very interesting.
So, like I said, when I was researching this episode, I researched a lot of different Atlanta rappers, and I used some interesting techniques to do that. A lot of what I found and a lot of the work that I did won't actually even get used for this episode, but it was fun to do nevertheless. And I will say that, like, by far, T.I.'s internet presence has been scrubbed so much more than with other rappers. And, like, I find that very curious and very telling, honestly. Now, some people might remember when T.I. infamously, said that he takes his daughter to the gynecologist to confirm that her hymen is still intact. You remember that, Luke?
Yeah, I remember that. That's a it's an interesting thing to say, for sure.
It's indicative of a certain mindset, I think I would say.
Yeah.
Like, not to be Mr. Too Damn Feminist or anything, but like, it's clearly like a certain type of guy that's like has a certain set of preoccupations that like very much seems to be like telling on himself.
Yeah.
To that end, and I'm laughing, but like I shouldn't be laughing at this, honestly. To that end, in January 2021, a woman alleged that T.I. threatened to kill her. In conjunction with that, various women came forward alleging sexual abuse by T.I. and his wife. T.I. claimed early on that all of his sexual encounters were consensual, which, like, you know, anytime you're like having to say that, it's not a good sign, right?
Yeah.
So by March 2021, at least 30 different women accused T.I. and his wife of forced drugging, kidnapping, rape, and intimidation. The accusers alleged that prior to or upon immediately entering T.I. and Tiny's home or hotel or tour bus, they were coerced by Tiny to ingest drugs or were unknowingly administered drugs to impair the victim's ability to consent to subsequent, quote, vile sexual acts, unquote. T.I. and Tiny both denied the allegations. However, that got their reality TV show canceled. But like, I pose the rhetorical question, do you think that VH1 didn't know that this was going on?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be hard to imagine when you have like 30 different girls coming out, because I mean at that point it seems like it's a pretty habitual thing, and that's just girls who came forward, you know. That's not to say about all of those who'd be too afraid of some sort of retribution or something like that. Like, that's a pretty large scale operation.
Absolutely. Like, I'm very, you know, of the mindset of believing women's accusations, obviously. And like, when it's like 30 women, it's like, come on, man. Like, that's like not an accident. That's not in the realm of like the occasional false accusation or anything. Like,
yeah, there's a difference between like one Ayanna Jackson versus like 30 women coming forward. Mm-hmm. There's a definite difference there. But I mean, I had heard some of that, but I didn't know that it was like so that he had done that so many times. I didn't know that it was like that widespread or however. That's wild.
Absolutely. And like Tiny being a participant, that's like so fucked up.
Yeah, like a Ghislaine Maxwell type situation going on or something.
Exactly. Very much had me thinking about that. And again, related to that, when you pair this stuff coming out with the fact that T.I.'s bodyguard, Corey Williams, the military vet and informant, was also trafficking women. And then you look at T.I.'s anomalous yet ongoing legal problems that tended to work out in T.I.'s favor. I think you can paint a pretty dark picture.
Yeah, and especially when Corey Williams' escort service caters to, you know, Atlanta's most powerful and powerful people in general. I mean,
the upscale gentlemen of Atlanta.
Yeah, one can make all kinds of speculations, but yeah, I don't know. This is like some weird thing where it's like Bill Cosby meets Jeffrey Epstein and it makes T.I. and Tiny or something.
I think that it's very much, yeah, no, that's a perfect example. Like Cosby plus Epstein is T.I. Like, what the fuck? And I guess I should say allegedly. I don't think that I'm likely to be sued in either event, but, you know, I've only said things that were, I might have said some things that were not published, but like, even still, holy cow.
Everyone's saying this.
Yeah. That said, even though all these women came forward, it looks like T.I. and Tiny are not going to get charged somehow. Now, pro-T.I. sources chalk it up to the fact that the statute of limitations ran out. But if you read the articles, that only applies to one of the three locations. Like, I think literally Las Vegas was the place where the statute of limitations ran out. I don't think it actually ran out for the other places where this happened, which would be like Atlanta and like one or two other places, I think California being another. So like, why is no one pursuing this legally? What explains it? I think it would have to be T.I.'s in still involved in stuff. Like, he did some type of informing. He was probably maybe running some type of like lower tier Epstein type situation, escort service type of stuff. What are we talking about here, right? And like, there are still indications that T.I. is absolutely still involved in this shit. I mean, first of all, it was only 2021 when that woman came forward and said that she had been, you know, threatened. But like, separate from that, a guy was shot right outside T.I.'s recording studio just in June of 2022. So like, T.I. is absolutely still active, still in the game, still doing something. I'm not going to pretend that I like know with any degree of certainty or whatever. Like, I'm not like plugged into the street, right, in Atlanta, but like, he's still doing shit, I guess is what I would say. And like, I would say that like with T.I., there are still so many things. I think one day we might maybe see some more of his evidence that he was informing. I think over time, I think one day this will become pretty clear. But like right now, it's still very, it seems like it's very much an ongoing operation. And I would just end my T.I. section by saying that like T.I. seems like a very good indication that all is not well in the world of Atlanta rap, which is unfortunately my favorite regional scene, you know, and that sucks, right?
Absolutely. No, never want to hear about a like call girl rings and potential blackmail and all that stuff. It's not a good look.
Absolutely.
Snitch. Don't let your mouth open up, because you don't want to see the handgun open up. No.
don't let your mouth open up, cause you don't wanna see the automatic open up. No, don't let your mouth open up, cause you don't wanna see the handgun open up. No, don't let your mouth open up, cause you don't wanna see the automatic open up. Ain't no snitches riding with us. Old motor mouth niggas can holler front. Can't no loose lips get on my yacht. I leave player haters at the dock. Watch. And your nigga help you burn the block. As soon as you get hot, nigga turn and cop. You setting up federal appointments now. Nigga all in court pointing out. Daddy not knowing what he doing his child. We gon' mail him his finger when he get out. Yeah, just to show him what we's about. Never let shit about G's leave your mouth. Yeah, you inside can't leave your house. Two donut lovers to police your house. I sneak past those brothers leak in your house and put the heat dead in your mouth. So shut up. Don't let your mouth open up, cause you don't wanna see the handgun open up. No, don't let your mouth open up, cause you don't wanna see the automatic open up. No, don't let your mouth open up, cause you don't wanna see the handgun open up. No, don't let your mouth open up, cause you don't wanna see the automatic open up. Busy, nigga, been bout me. Stay low so you don't know shit bout me. Make no mistake, I'm a veteran at me. Never rat, mommy taught me better than that. Get a gat if you ain't got one already. If you do, then you ain't got enough, get two. And you could never get me, nigga, get you. And you ain't gotta fuck me, girl, fuck you. I'm rolling with my goons, and I would never roll on my nigga. Take that to my tomb. Ain't no girl came out of mom's womb. Real nigga shit, motherfucker, I'm tuned. And I was taught, if a man talk about another man, while that man ain't present, a man don't listen. They throwing bricks, but they hands is missing. Just watch what you're saying, sissy. Yeah. Don't let your mouth open up, cause you don't wanna see the handgun open up. No, don't let your mouth open up, cause you don't wanna see the automatic open up. No, don't let your mouth open up, cause you don't wanna see the handgun open up. No, don't let your mouth open up, cause you don't wanna see the automatic open up. Ain't no telling who's spilling the earl. You telling your boy, he telling his girl. Oh, now she telling the world. It ain't no secret, I'm hotter than ether. But I don't need the cop shit neither. Either close your mouth or meet the heater. We the dirty south where cocaine cheaper. You go up north, niggas boost they fee up. This where the real hustlers meet up. Look out, anybody could be them people. Oh, your own people could be them people. No glasses could help you see them people. They around too many evil people. Detectives wanna get even equal. My desert eagle ain't even legal. But shh. Don't let your mouth open up, cause you don't wanna see the handgun open up. No, don't let your mouth open up, cause you don't wanna see the automatic open up. No, don't let your mouth open up, cause you don't wanna see the handgun open up. No, don't let your mouth open up, cause you don't wanna see the automatic open up.
Yeah, nigga, watch the people around you, watch the people away from you. Leave them niggas be, let them stay from you. These niggas' mouths is running like hot water, I swear to God. Real niggas taking falls like Niagara. Trying to stay up like Viagra, but it ain't gon' happen. These niggas is best buddies with the 5-0 team. They know the DA by name. It ain't a game, it used to be one. It's like these niggas got them big ducks in their mouth that the gynecologist use when your bitch go get a pap smear. That's pussy anyway. Weezy.
I have a little bit more here. So my confidential rap informant told me that, and I quote, a big factor with Atlanta informants and spooks is it's full of gangster rappers who are barely secretly gay, so they are easy to compromise. A lot of these guys are juggling multiple handlers, unquote. And I was talking with Luke off mic, and like not trying to, you know, pretend like I'm a freaking hero or ally or anything, but like, I don't think it's cool to like out people out of the closet, like publicly. Not that Program to Chill is like any big venue to like, it would make like zero impact, I'm certain, but like, nevertheless, I'm not going to put myself in the position of outing certain rappers. But I did do a copious amount of research and found some very interesting things, not just related to gay stuff, but like that is a major component of this. And so, you know, I was talking to Luke about how to handle this. And I think what I'm going to do is just tell Luke what I found, and then bleep out portions of it. And I think that's probably the way to handle it. So check this out. And I think this is actually probably fine to discuss because it actually does appear in court depositions and articles. Okay. So Outkast, Andre 3000 and Big Boy, I think they're bisexual. Did you like Outkast, or what were your thoughts on Outkast?
Yeah, I do like Outkast, and that, you know, doesn't affect the way that I think about them at all, but no, it's interesting. I guess it's less surprising when I think about it than it would be for like some other artist.
Yeah, it's not exactly like mind-blowing if you were to say Andre 3000 and Big Boy are bisexual. Like, they kind of have like an interesting, unique personal style, and then like Big Boy's name almost alludes to like that, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But I guess like the reason why this is like likely, I found various indications, but the very clear one is that in Big Boy's divorce proceedings, his wife actually said, and this is in court documents, "The whole world is wondering where Andre 3000 been. Just check Big Boy's phone. He's right there naked." And that's just like in court documents. So it's like, I'm not outing them. And I, again, just like you said, this doesn't diminish my ability to enjoy Outkast in the slightest. It's just like, it sucks that like they maybe can't feel like they can like, you know, live openly like that or whatever, but like, yeah, it's just interesting, right?
Yeah, most certainly.
So, unrelated to gay stuff, right? I was in a huge rabbit hole with Gucci Mane and Young Jeezy because, like, I told you, Gucci Mane's my guy. He's my favorite. And I do like Young Jeezy too, or just Jeezy, I guess. And what I found with them is that their whole careers were all about laundering money for the Black Mafia family. And Gucci Mane's diss track against Jeezy had the line, "Put a dress on you, N-word, you Meech's bitch," which of course Meech is referring to Big Meech of the Black Mafia family. For those who don't know about the Black Mafia family, they were a interstate, I guess, not quite international, like a network of like drug traffickers. And that's a whole story. It's a very interesting one. But to stay focused on the musicians, famously, when guys would come after Gucci Mane to kill him, and Gucci Mane killed, I think, at least one of them, Gucci Mane's lawyers would say, quote, "Here's the situation. Five guys came in, they were BMF." And then Gucci's other lawyer would say, "Law enforcement was always interested in BMF throughout all of this." All of this referring to Gucci Mane's like murder trial, where he was acquitted because it was self-defense, right? And like, it would be too long to go through the whole Black Mafia family saga. It would be extremely interesting to do so, but like, and again, Gucci Mane is literally my favorite rapper, but like, you gotta admit, laundering money does make Gucci Mane's career make so much more sense when you look at the extremely high number of mixtapes he's put out.
Yeah.
And then also the fact that Gucci Mane went through a paranoid period. I mean, obviously he was paranoid for like legitimate legal reasons because he was about to be arrested, but like, related to that, like, some of that was related to the BMF stuff. Now, in talking about Young Jeezy, it came out in a federal narcotics trial in 2008 that Jeezy bought 4 kilos of cocaine from the BMF in 2004. He would not be charged with anything.
Interesting.
Jeezy, like, this makes you think, right? Jeezy had a similar record as T.I., by which I mean he had narcotics convictions as a teen. There were assault and gun possession charges. And interestingly, he would have his firearms charges thrown out at different times. And it's the timeline mainly that's curious. Jeezy was working with the BMF. He didn't get any charges, and then the Black Mafia family went down. It makes you think, right? Was Jeezy snitching? I don't think that there's enough evidence for me to say yes, but there is evidence that would make it possible. Then again, maybe not, because on the flip side, the author of the book, the main book about the Black Mafia family, the author interviewed Big Meech, and she asked him tons of questions, but one of them was like, what was the best thing you did in your time at the top of the drug game? And Big Meech said the best thing he ever did was help Jeezy's career take off. So like, maybe he didn't snitch on the BMF, or maybe Jeezy's snitching would have been unrelated to Big Meech going down. Like, who knows, right? Then also interesting, relating to Jeezy, in 2006, he would be arrested after a shootout in Florida, but then curiously, he walked, no charges, nothing. In 2017, Jeezy would be sued for wrongful death for the death of a Bay Area promoter. Now, for those in the know, for those clued in, the Bay Area glows brightly with regards to rap, snitch, fed fuckery. Again, Mac Dre, right? There's a lot going on there. Now, it's not in the Atlanta area, but of course, Rick Ross was literally a correctional officer presented without comment. Taking the name Rick Ross itself is like a weird sort of move. It's very interesting, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if I was going to start a musical career, probably wouldn't name myself after like a CIA asset, just to avoid any speculation going forward, but to each their own.
That's just me though, right?
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I don't like Rick Ross. So like, I'm not trying to make that like a bias, but like, I'm sure that he's probably done some fuckery. I just didn't end up, you know, researching him because he wasn't an Atlanta guy.
Bitch, nigga, snitch, nigga, hoe, nigga, bitch, nigga, 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 bitch, nigga, snitch, nigga, hoe, nigga, bitch, nigga. I can smell a bitch, nigga, a mile away. Type of nigga so bitch, he should put bitch made on his license plate. From that real shit, you bitch niggas play hide and seek. Me and bitch niggas, we don't conversate. Bitch niggas love saying real niggas tryna hate. But no, nigga, I'm a real nigga, I had to back away. You got feel in your heart, so you cooperate. I can't say how bitch niggas operate. You's a bitch, your mom know you a bitch. Yo girl, you know you a bitch. I don't know how she suck your dick. Pause, you got caught some shit with your best friend in your clique. Y'all got caught in the lick, everybody went down cause you snitched. Whoever raised you ain't do a good job at that. Whoever read you need to get slapped. Karma is a bitch and she gon' get you, nigga, just like that. Cause once a bitch, nigga, always a bitch. Fact. Bitch, nigga, snitch, nigga, hoe. Nigga, bitch, nigga, 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 bitch, nigga, snitch, nigga, hoe. Bitch niggas always contemplate. Always contemplate on what they tryna say. Bitch nigga leave the house, think he fly today. Bitch nigga don't even know what's about to come his way. Bitch nigga, you should bleed for 7 days. No testosterone, you scared to catch a fed. I got in a fight and you ain't fight, you ran off. So next time I see you, I knock you out on sight. Hey, I don't want no rap beef, cause I'm really gon' slide. Check my rap sheet. Hey, so think twice before attacking me. I'ma pull a gun on, I ain't gon' run, I ain't no athlete. You count the next man pockets, you fall. Pillow talking to that bitch, she a hoe, you know she ass. I hate a bitch nigga, I hate a bitch nigga, I swear to God. I don't know what's worse, bitch niggas or alcohol. Bitch nigga snitch, nigga hoe. Nigga bitch, nigga bitch, 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 nigga snitch, nigga hoe.
So, the last guy that I have to talk about, I wouldn't say the best for last, but like maybe the funniest would be Soulja Boy. And this is a case where you can see snitching and money laundering explaining literally everything about this guy. That's right. Snitching and money laundering explain why Soulja Boy even has a career in the first place. Now, if you were to like read his Wikipedia or like read industry-friendly publications, you would walk away thinking that Soulja Boy uploaded the song Crank That, which went viral, and then his career was just a natural and organic outgrowth of his tech and social media savvy, right? And then like people would maybe notice that like Soulja Boy really can't make good music, doesn't make good music, has never maybe made good music, and like nevertheless continues to have a career, quote unquote. And that like Soulja Boy's career basically now consists of like nothing but scams and hustles. And like it would be like way too long to like list out every single scam he's ever done, but like early on he was very much in the vein of like manipulating like MySpace and like early streaming service, like weird games where you would like reroute traffic to like hack and like become the number one, you know, on different websites. So like very early on he had sort of an aptitude for that. Later on he would also be like, you know how like there are like Instagram stats and like there are ways of analyzing social media to like see when people buy followers, basically.
Yeah.
He super buys followers on every platform. And there was one scam that he did, which he put his phone number in a song. And then, like, wouldn't you know it, fans would call him. And then he sold the phone numbers of his fans to people for money. Like, that was a good one. Great hustle. He got into the NFT game, of course. That's a obvious one, right? And it goes without saying. And like, I think people understand now, but like NFTs are basically just money laundering. So keep that in mind with Soulja Boy. But Soulja Boy would put out not one, not two, but three different handheld game consoles, which were all very reviewed as just shitty overpriced emulators, and also in kind of like a legal gray zone with that too. I don't know, Luke, if you ever saw that one post, Twitter poster who like posts all kinds of funny memes or whatever, but like he has this ongoing like fake feud with like Soulja Boy for ripping him off on one of the handheld game consoles.
No, I haven't seen that.
It's a good thing. It's good, but Soulja Boy tried to release a cartoon based on himself. He tried to release a movie based on himself, starring Nick Cannon, but it didn't go anywhere. He, I think, maybe did at least half produce a documentary based on himself. He signed a deal with World Poker Fund Holdings, which was probably some weird roundabout payoff scheme. He ran an OnlyFans, which is probably also to a certain extent money laundering. Like Soulja Boy has just like a bewildering array of like business ventures and attempts to be relevant that are mostly just scams, right? But the long and short of it is that Soulja Boy's entire career has always been about laundering money first. All of the scams to like make money are probably like trying to like keep himself paid. And then like trying to stay relevant is just, you know, probably an attempt to like prolong his ability to launder money. There is so much evidence for this. Maybe the most convincing evidence that Soulja Boy's career is about laundering money is the fact that the Black Mafia family had a company back in the day called BMF Entertainment. They were angling to become the new like Rockefeller Records, or like the new Death Row Records, or the new Murder, Inc. or something, right? They didn't get very far because the BMF eventually got taken down, right? But like, they did sign one rapper named Blue Da Vinci. Blue Da Vinci was a rapper second and a drug trafficker first, which is like not good. Usually you want to be like spending most of your time rapping, right? So BMF Entertainment had a very serious chance at one point of signing Jeezy and Gucci Mane. So like they very possibly could have actually made this jump, but they ended up getting taken down. Anyway, the point of this story is that Blue Da Vinci's brother was also a rapper named Calico Jones. So Calico Jones would play a role at Soulja Boy's record label, which was, I forget, it was like Stacks on Deck. Oh, fuck, I didn't write down Soulja Boy's, the name of his stupid record label. But like the point is, Calico Jones was at Soulja Boy's record label, but not as a musician. He was like helping run it. Now, obviously, if your career is laundering money for a criminal organization, you are not going to advertise that fact, but there's still even more evidence. So BuzzFeed reported that 75% of all purchases made from Soulja Boy's hoverboard web store were fraudulent. Yeah, he was selling hoverboards. And 75% of them were fraudulent. Now, there's a Vice article that explains that like Soulja Boy ended up getting screwed supposedly, and like he ended up like owing money or something. But like the article argued that Soulja Boy was like a victim of fraudsters, but there is a very distinct other way to interpret the fact that 75% of all the purchases were fraudulent, right? I think that Vice was maybe just not doing enough digging, maybe. But other than the BMF connection, the single best piece of evidence I have for Soulja Boy laundering money would be Soulja Boy's connection to a guy named DJ Explosive, which I don't know about you. DJ Explosive makes me think of like diarrhea or something. It doesn't sound that cool to me. But this guy almost sounds like a cross between like DJ Khaled and like Lil Dicky, in that he doesn't seem to have that much talent and he inexplicably has a career anyway. But DJ Explosive was a guy named Stuart Flom. Now, on paper, Flom was a guy who worked for major record labels. And I got so in the weeds with this guy, but like Flom was from Cleveland, and I cannot fail to think of a certain older criminal syndicates that are based out of Cleveland, right? So Flom worked at Asylum Records and Warner Music Group. He would do different things like music promotions. He would like run street crews to do promotions, put up flyers, you know, all kinds of stuff. And then he ended up leaving to found a company in 2005. Supposedly, the purpose of his company was to develop independent musicians. I say supposedly in as much as I would argue that he was probably creating industry plants or creating industry plants on behalf of certain people. And so Flom's company was called Element 9. Immediately after founding this company, Flom entirely organically found Soulja Boy after Soulja Boy put out that song, Crank That. Or, you know, maybe the timeline could be the reverse, right? And either way, Flom became Soulja Boy's music publisher and head of online promotions, which is to say that Flom was basically doing most of the shit that gets attributed to Soulja Boy, which is to say that Flom was laundering money using Soulja Boy's like career, right? All of this to say that Flom's Element 9 company, wouldn't you know, it immediately signs with Universal Music Group. So it was never really independent, right? And so Flom is able to leverage himself as a vice president. So here he is becoming a record executive. My arguments that Flom was laundering money using Soulja Boy's career carries weight because Flom would later be convicted of money laundering in 2017. Flom would be sentenced to 6 years in prison for laundering $1.5 million in proceeds from marijuana trafficking. He would be indicted in 2015, convicted in 2017. So, like, here we have a guy from Cleveland, Flom, and, like, the Jewish syndicate was based out of Cleveland. Flom basically comes up. He is laundering money, I would argue, for the Black Mafia family, but probably, who knows, you know, where, what these other sources are going through. And then he ends up a VP at Universal. And then later on, he gets nailed for lower level money laundering. Like, my argument here is that the record labels have always been in bed with the mafia, different organized crime elements, I guess I should say, whether that's, you know, Jewish racketeering, Italian mafia, Black, you know, organized crime, and they would work with all these different groups. And so, like, music record executives have always been, like, literally just one step away from, like, actual mafia types. And I think that you can make a pretty good case that Flom was just one of these guys with a very specific skill set called money laundering via music careers. The difference, I think, is that Flom and Soulja Boy, both of them, are vaguely pathetic and probably not actually good at it. And that's why Flom got caught. It's also why Soulja Boy is weirdly pathetic and, like, clout chasing and, like, just not good at making music. But, like, my argument basically is that this pretty much explains why Soulja Boy even has a career.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, definitely explains, yeah, Soulja Boy having a career to begin with. So,
and I think I might have left out, but, like, I think, like, Soulja Boy's, like, family was, like, tied in with the BMF back in the day. And then, like, you know, they end up, like, getting their kid brother basically to, like, have this career. Like, it's, I don't know. It's, I think that it explains a lot, even if there's still a lot of, like, stuff, like, there's still unanswered questions, but, like, I think that this answers a lot still.
Yeah, it has a lot of explanatory power. I'd agree with that.
Thank you. Let's see here. So I'm certain my listeners, if I don't address Gunna and Young Thug, would definitely ask me about it. And I definitely did not address them, mainly because things are very much still developing there. But, like, it's interesting because, like, my confidential informant, so to speak, was saying that, like, a lot of the blackmail angle to these Atlanta guys specifically isn't actually, like, the cops doing it. That a lot of these, specifically, like, relating to sexuality, a lot of these networks are actually run through churches. So, like, there's a certain degree of, like, the churches are actually somewhat involved in blackmailing them, which is a whole other interesting thing. And that is, like, a whole can of worms that, you know, I don't have too much more on, but, like, it's interesting, right?
Yeah, very interesting. I hadn't heard the church's angle before. Just, like, I mean, I feel like that's always kind of been, like, a big thing when it comes to, like, rap conspiracies. It's, like, certain people being gay and stuff like that. And, you know, most of the people in rap put on, like, a real machismo type persona. So, you know, I mean, I think that those kinds of accusations have more of an effect on them than they would, you know, other types of musicians and artists and what have you. But no, I haven't heard the church's angle to it. That's a very interesting.
Yeah, I think, like, it kind of parallels how, like, certain things back in, like, the 70s and 80s, certain higher level, like, CIA things were sort of, like, the CIA couldn't be doing anymore. So they, like, basically took private sector And so, like, I think that trickled down to some of the more like police level operations. So, like, I really doubt that there's like the APD having like some sort of like, you know, gay, you know, blackmail thing. I think it's probably some sort of private sector thing going on.
Yeah.
Do you listen to Young Dolph?
I do not.
That's too bad. He's pretty good. He has a...
I'll check him out.
Oh, yeah. He has a line that's like, how many dicks you suck to get that couple million? And it's like, I don't know. It's interesting, right? Because like, there is definitely, like, I'm not the guy to like go through the complicated politics around like rap and specifically gangster rap and homosexuality. And like, there have been some books on it, some like industry whistleblowers even, but like, for sure, I'm not giving it the level of nuance it deserves. But like, have you ever noticed, well, you said, you know, you've noticed the idea of it has been out there like a long time, but like, have you ever noticed that like in lyrics, it's not always so much like that they're like, these guys will like be mad about like that there are people in the closet, but like that they are doing it to advance their careers.
Yeah, no, it usually is kind of like brought up into relation to that. I mean, you certainly do have some people who just have like, you know, lyrics that are like not super pro gay or what have you, but yeah, most of the time when I hear it brought up in lyrics, it is in relation to a kind of like establishing one's career in something. And I think maybe like the reason is for that is that, you know, rappers are trying to insinuate that other rappers aren't there of their own merit, you know, mm-hmm. as opposed to them, because I mean, that's kind of like one of the biggest tropes in all of rap is like, you know, a good rags to riches tale, and how like you're more genuine in your rags to riches tale than all the other rappers are.
Which, goddamn, if I don't relate to that in terms of the podcasting game. But yeah, I mean, needless to say, it's good that like society by and large is being more accepting of homosexuality, because if for nothing else, it means that like fewer people can be blackmailed using it. And I mean that inside the rap game and like outside of it, like you see way fewer like espionage rings using it. Like that was a huge thing in like the 50s and 60s. And it's like it's like gone down in importance, I think, as, you know, obviously homosexuality is like accepted in society. So like, definitely like things are probably looking up in that regard, but I'm super like not the person to probably explore all these topics anyway. But
me either. Yeah, I'm straight white male here, so
I'm already on tough ground talking about rap snitches in the first place, right? So I would say, well, let me see. So I will probably do a few closing thoughts, and then I'll definitely, you know, give you the time to do some closing thoughts, and then we can just talk sources, and you know, that'd probably be good. So to conclude, no, I didn't find anything on 21 Savage. I like 21 Savage's music. I also like what he said about snitches. But I'll just read it. It says, snitches and rats are not the same thing. Let me break it down to make sure y'all see what I mean. A snitch is someone minding other folks' business to find information they can sell for a price or trade for some other form of compensation. A rat is a trader, a conceiver, planner, or physical participator. He doesn't sell secrets for power or cash. He betrays the trust of his team or his family, hoping to save his cowardly ass. The difference is, at least a snitch is human, but a rat is a fucking rat, period. And like, I don't think I probably adequately broke down the distinction probably between snitches and rats, but like we have been talking about, people can be coerced or forced into snitching. Snitches are human. But there is a certain form of snitching, being a rat, which is like very much that like Judas element, which is just like unjustifiable, probably. I don't think that we spent time figuring out who's a snitch and who's a rat. I'm not even sure any rats come to mind. I don't know, maybe T.I.'s bodyguard or something. Maybe T.I., but like, either way, I think that's an interesting dichotomy. What do you think, Luke?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting dichotomy as well. And I think kind of with that question, it's in just about every instance a hard one to answer, because like, you can't read somebody else's heart. Yeah. You can't know somebody else's intentions.
And you can rarely read their FBI or police reports either.
yeah, exactly. You know, so there's definitely a lot of information that we don't have in these cases. And you also don't want to jump to unfair conclusions, because even if we don't like some of the behavior of these people, it's like you said, snitches are human. And you know, it's best to give people a fair shake.
Absolutely. It is very hard to know, you know, and like, it seems like it's like, you're very much like, you shouldn't get involved in any of this stuff. But like, when you're in the rap game, it doesn't seem like you have a choice. Like, it sucks, man.
Yeah, most definitely.
Did you have any just in general thoughts about rap snitches or any of the things we talked about?
I'm trying to think if there's anything that comes to the top of my head, but there's not really in particular. I feel like we hit most everything that I wanted to say in this episode. Yeah, no, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Just that, I guess, if you are in the rap game, and you're going to start snitching, be careful about it, because it can go wrong for some people. But no, I don't really have anything to add to our conversation.
Right on. So let's talk sources then. You want to go first, I guess?
Yeah. So Drugs as a Weapon Against Us by John Potash. It's very good, very interesting read. There's a lot of stuff about rappers, but there's also a lot of other interesting stuff in there. Like, if you want to hear about Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love, or just all kinds of examples of musicians and people having drugs introduced into their lives as a way to control them. And
Jimi Hendrix, that's one in that book where it's just like, damn, that like they, first of all, they probably, you know, murdered him, but like, they were super using drugs to control Hendrix, and it's like fucked up.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it's definitely an interesting read. Another one, I haven't read it in full, but I've read large parts of it, and you can get a good idea of, you know, Russell Poole's thoughts as far as like the assassination of like Biggie and Tupac, and some of stuff about Death Row and possible federal agents and stuff. And Death Row is Labyrinth, so like LA and then Brent, so Labyrinth. And then I got a lot of information from The Smoking Gun. I know that you got a lot of that too from T.I., so they have a lot of good stuff about rap feds and whatnot if you want to find it. And a lot of the other stuff is just kind of taken from random articles online, a few articles from Complex, FBI files in relation to Tupac and stuff like that. But really, if there's anything that you're too interested in that I mentioned, like, you'll probably be able to find it if you want. And if you can't find it, you can just DM me at Thing Observer on Twitter and I'll help you find it. So,
oh yeah. Hard recommend on the Potash book. In relation to that, I also use the book BMF, The Rise and Fall of Big Meech and the Black Mafia Family by Mara Shalhoub. That was very good. And that focuses, you know, mostly on Jeezy and Gucci Mane. Well, the book doesn't focus on them, but like they are the main guys in there relating to what we're talking about. I also, to a lesser extent, use the book Snitching, Criminal Informants and the Erosion of American Justice by Alexandra Nadapoff. That was very good. And then, of course, like you, I used tons of articles. I used various, you know, hip-hop industry articles, but The Smoking Gun was like by far the best for these purposes. Also, like, don't underestimate like shitty industry stuff. Like Billboard was surprisingly good. More often than not, when like rappers are feuding with each other, they will, you know, point out the most relevant stuff. And let me see. Miami, they seem to have like pretty good journalism for a lot of this stuff, surprisingly. And yeah, definitely. Like I said, like, you know, we both said, just DM us if you have any specific questions, because it's like so many articles to go through. But yeah, definitely. Thank you so much, Luke, for joining us here today. And I recommend people check out the podcast. I haven't heard it yet because it's just like you just released your first episode as of when we're recording. But I'm sure it'll be great, and I'm definitely going to check it out. And we will link to it in the show notes for sure.
Perfect. Well, thanks for having me on. This was a blast, as it was last time.
A regular citizen who reports seeing a crime isn't a snitch or a rat. The criminals were just sloppy. Snitches and rats are not the same thing. Let me break it down to make sure y'all see what I mean. A snitch is someone minding other folks' business to find information they can sell for a price or trade for some other form of compensation. A rat is a traitor, a conceiver, planner, or physical participator. He doesn't sell secrets for power or cash. He betrays the trust of his team or his family, hoping to save his own cowardly ass. The difference is, at least a snitch is human, but a rat is a fucking rat, period.
Yeah, yeah. Snitches and rats, snitches and rats, snitches and rats, they all get wet. Pussy told on his brother, pussy his brother told back. Pussy they say that they twins, we call them Siamese rats. Oh God. Snitches and rats, snitches and rats, we snatching your jewelry, oh God, and taking your pack. Little bitch, snitches and rats, pussy snitches and rats, pussy cut off his tail and put slugs in his hat. Talk in the street, 21. Keltec 223, like D-Wade, I love my heat, 21. Glock 19 in the booth, it's on the seat, pussy. Black Air Force Ones in the field, in my cleats, pussy. Caught a rap nigga down bad, not his ass in a body bag. Sound real tough when you making them songs, where the fuck is your body's at, pussy? Say you won't smoke with that bitch 4L, 21. Where the fuck is your apartment's at? 21. Been stuck on them, they ain't talking about shit, pussy. Them niggas are welcome at, Shawty be speaking them facts, Shawty ain't talking to rats. Nigga no new to my twin, playing with cuz, nigga get whacked fast. You ain't gon' slide you a hold off, pussy. Spin a nigga block, then we rolled off, pussy. Young cool tryna scold out, Chef was busy, so I sent Foga. Snitches and rats, snitches and rats, snitches and rats, they all get whacked. Pussy he told on his brother, pussy his brother told back. Pussy they say that they twins, we call them Siamese rats. Oh God. Snitches and rats, 21. Snitches and rats, 21. We snatching your jewelry, oh God, and taking your pack. Little bitch, snitches and rats, pussy snitches and rats, pussy cut off his tail and put slugs in his hat.
Black and white gon' tell it, and you snitching pussy, I don't smell it. Real convicted felon, scrap the loaded shit, this lethal weapon. Bless you pussy niggas with this weapon, send you straight to heaven. Man, I pray to God you pussy nigga don't test me, I'm gon' brush you. Hope you niggas retaliate, don't tell them peoples or your mama. Niggas like to dry snitch when shit get real, wanna go tell they mama. Gotta keep this shit 20-100, don't you fold under pressure, fuck your honor. You know they try to get you 100, yeah. Nigga be scared they catching a honor. Snitch
questions and rap, we gon' feed them a home. I feel the money be cheap. All these rap niggas gon' follow the cheap.
Yeah, trade ones with my brother, the other shit, you know we bustle. We bust. I don't fucking trust you, you ain't Metro, we gon' bust you.
Snitches and rats, snitches and rats, snitches and rats, they all get wet. Pussy. He told on his brother, pussy. His brother told back. Pussy. They say that they twins, we call them Siamese rats.
Oh God.
Snitches and rats,
21.
Snitches and rats,
21.
We snatching your jewelry,
oh God.
And taking your pack.
Little bitch.
Snitches and rats,
pussy.
Snitches and rats,
pussy.
Cut off his tail and put slugs in his hat.
Facts.
Roll the window down, squeeze, fuck it, spin again. Why they grieve? 7, 6, 2, 2, 3s. Who caught deuces? Please.